I'm gonna speak on something this morning that's really close to my heart. I call it the power of prophetic worship, and I'll explain to you everything about how I see prophetic worship. But I'm really trusting the Lord this morning that there's going to be a release of His voice and an opening of our ears to hear His voice. Amen. So I really trust Him for that. But before I get into the message, I want to ask all the married people, how many of you still remember the song that you played when you opened the dance floor on your wedding day? How many of you still remember the song? Guys, please raise your hands, even if you don't remember. Yay. I remember we used a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman called Great Expectations, for whoever of you might know that. And whenever I hear that song, it brings back memories. It brings back a feeling or just an atmosphere of an expectation. And every time I hear a song and it takes me back in time, I realize again that music talks, you know, it's a communication tool. There's something about music that it speaks louder than words, you know. I don't know how many of you have ever experienced that music can actually take you even back in time to smell something. Is it just me, like your grandmother's pancakes or something? Okay, some of you have experienced that. There's something about music that it communicates something. God created music as a very, very unique communication tool. And, you know, it can make us sad, or it can make us laugh, or it can make you feel happy. There's just so many different emotions that's connected to music, you know. And I found that the right music can boost your energy levels, you know. You know, where's Annette, you know? The music that you, Annette is a instructor. She gives classes, you know, like spinning and aquarobics and, you know, all those active things. And I'm just always surprised, you know, whenever you attend a gym class, like aerobics or any kind of thing where there's an instructor, they use music. And all that you need to do is you need to drag yourself to the class. But when you're there and when you hear the music, I mean, you just come alive. Have any of you experienced that ever? I mean, to do it in your own room without music, those moves, it's not going to work. But do it with other people and coming to a class where there's something in the air. Hey, I mean, music is just the most amazing communication tool. And I remember the very last service in 2012. It's happened to me before, but that Sunday was so clear to me. I led worship that Sunday. And after the worship, I had a very strong sense of feeling close to God. I remember going to the gym that afternoon. It was such a clear moment. I was doing my stretches. And even in the gym, I don't like the gym's music, eh? I always take my own music and just as soon as I can, I block it out because some of that music drives me crazy. Okay, that music can communicate that as well, you know, it can upset you. But in any case, I was in the gym, I was doing my stretches, and I felt so close to God as if I could touch Him. I had the most amazing sense of happiness, of well-being, of peace. And I said, Lord, what is this? You know, I feel so close to You. And God said to me, that was the worship this morning. It happened during the time of worship. And I said, God, but is it only me? What happened? And God said, no. There's so many people after this morning's worship that feels the sense of happiness, of well-being, of peace, that closeness to Him. And as I say, it has happened many times to me before, but that Sunday was just such, I'll never forget that moment where God just said to me, the feeling you have was because of the worship, the corporate worship this morning in church, and there's more people feeling this way. And my eyes just open again for the right kind of music that's not music only, but that is worship. You know, when we take music and we move it from music to worship, but not even only worship, we move it from worship to prophetic worship, something in us change. Something in us change. And this is what I want to explain to you this morning. We're trusting the Lord in Shofar not only to make music. I always say that we're not a band, we're not musicians, we are worshipers. First and foremost, we're worshipers. And because of that, we trust the Lord to worship Him. You know, we can make music for 10 hours and it's not necessarily going to change anybody. But when we start worshiping God, and especially when we move from worship to prophetic worship, something in us changes. And this is our expectation and our desire for us as a church to experience that. But I'm going to explain to you first, worship. All of us understand music, eh? You have your favorite artist, you have your not-so-favorite artist, you know, but even people who are not musical, or they don't necessarily play an instrument, you like your music, eh? You have your favorite song. And we all understand music, but I want to just define worship to you this morning. Okay, so let's look at a scripture, John 4, verse 23 and 24. It says, but the hour is coming, that's Jesus. He was speaking to a woman. He was explaining to her something, and he said to her, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So I just want to highlight a few things that Scripture says, the hour is coming and now is. Now. It's coming, but it's here. It's now. You know, it's feel it. It's feel it. It's here. That kind of a now, okay? The true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and that is what God is looking for. He's seeking such to worship Him. Worship is a now activity. You know, it's like in a relationship, when you get engaged and you get married and you plan your wedding day and you have this incredible day with your dress and you go on honeymoon and now you're back. It doesn't really help if you had this incredible day with your white dress and everything beautiful, and even if your honeymoon was great, coming back 1 year down the line, it's not so great anymore. It doesn't really, I mean, what does it help? I even know people who had a difficult wedding day due to circumstances or family issues, but they have the most amazing marriage. And I just always look at any kind of relationship and I say to myself, what does it help if you have had an amazing moment 10 years ago? What does it help today now? This is why the scripture says, the time is coming and now is. Now is the time to worship the Lord. We have to connect with God on a regular basis to hear His heart, to understand His language. It's the same in any friendship, any relationship, especially in marriage. You have to make it a now moment. You have to make it a now moment. You know, you can't say to your wife on a wedding day, I love you, and then you think it's the contract is signed and the deal is done and now you can, you know, go on with your life. Your wife needs to hear it every day. Guys, single guys, start practicing, okay? I love you, I love you, I love you. You have to say it sometimes more than once a day. It's not because she has forgotten it. It's because God has wired us for a now moment. Okay? It's a now. Worship is a now activity. God is looking for worshipers. You know, it's very interesting. If God was looking for worship, we often think God is looking for worship. But if he was looking for worship, we can play Him a CD. Like, there you go, God. You listen to your worship. I'm going to watch my movie. And now God is happy. You're happy. I mean, everyone's happy. But God is not really looking for worship, which is something really interesting. He's looking for worshipers. The scripture says, the true worshipers who worship the Father in spirit and in truth, For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. He's not looking for worship. He's looking for worshipers. He's looking for us. He's looking for our hearts. He's looking to communicate. Worship is a communication tool between us and God. It's a now moment. It's something that even a week ago, it's not good enough anymore. It's a today moment. It's a now moment between us and God. He's not looking for worship. He's looking for worshipers. What does it mean to worship God in truth? To worship God in truth means that we come as we are. We come sincere. We come with all our questions, with all our fears, with all our emotions, and we say, God, here I am to worship you. We come in truth. We don't sing a song and, you know, we're not there. You know, we mean it. We are there in the moment. We come in truth. We come exactly who we are. And we come and say, God, here I am. We come in truth. Okay? And when we worship God in spirit, it means that our spirit is connecting to God's spirit in a very unique way. For those of you who don't know, you are a spirit living in a body. Okay? Don't stress. We're all going to get new bodies when we go to heaven. Praise God. Okay? No more gym classes. We're just going to be all perfect. Okay? You're going to look at your best. Isn't that awesome? Okay? No more diets. No more gymming. You can, obviously. I'm sure you could if you want to go for your run. But this is just a house we live in. Okay? We are spirit. This is our little house that we live in. Your body is not who you are. You are spirit. And God is spirit, and He's created us in His image. So to worship God in spirit is for your spirit to communicate with God's spirit. And when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a whole new dimension of worshiping God in spirit. This is why all of you who are not filled in the Holy Spirit. If you are filled, you will know what I'm talking about. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, please join us for Encounter One. Please, especially next, if maybe even if you have attended it before, but you still have questions and you still have doubts, just come again. Okay, just come again. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, your worship experience comes alive. It's a whole new dimension. It makes you alive. Okay? Being baptized in the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit, it brings your spirit alive. And it's so necessary for our spirits to be alive towards the Lord, because it's the only way in which we could really worship Him in spirit. In spirit, not with our minds, not with our bodies even, but with our spirits. So God is looking for people who's ready for a now moment to worship Him now, today, and who will come as they are, just as they are, and who want to connect with His Spirit. That is worship. Worship is a communication tool. I want to read you something from a book called Victorious Mindsets. The guy who wrote it, his name is Steve Packland. It's 40 declarations, which is really life-changing. So if any one of you would be interested in a book with declarations you can go through every day, just let me know. But it's called Victorious Mindsets. He defines worship as follows. He says, worshippers understand the importance of having a deep heart connection with God. That is understanding. When you are a worshipper, you have an understanding that having a deep heart connection with God is important. Worship is to be prioritized because it helps create and maintain the revelation of how powerful and good God is. So it helps you to understand God's goodness, His power, who He really is, but it doesn't help you to understand it. It helps you to maintain that understanding. when we do not worship, we lose sight of God's true nature and thus see our circumstances with natural, hopeless mindset. So the power of worship, the power of connecting to the Lord, is we see God's true nature. So we see our circumstances and everything happening around us not with a hopeless mindset. We see it through God's eyes. So that is the power of worship. I'll get to prophetic worship, but that is the power of worship, where we have a glimpse of who God is, and by doing it on a regular basis, in a now moment, every day, we maintain that perspective of who God is, what He has done for you, and His faithfulness, which means that you're going to see your normal daily circumstances. The difficult child in your class, your challenging customer, the bad debts, you know, in your environment, the people who are not paying, and whatever kind of difficult situation you have in your job, you're not going to see it through your own eyes, through hopeless circumstances. You're going to see it through the eyes of God. That is the power of worship. All right, so let's look at prophetic worship. I said that we're not only trusting God to make music on a Sunday or at any time when we come together, when we play music. We trust Him to move from music to worship. But even beyond worship, we trust Him to move to a place of prophetic worship, which is a next level of worship. To prophesy means to speak or to write something by divine inspiration from the Lord. Okay, I think most of you understand that. So it's not your own words. It's not your own gifting even. It's not your own talent. You speak by divine inspiration. You hear something and you speak what you hear. That is to prophesy. Prophetic worship is then to make music or to sing by divine inspiration from the Lord. So prophetic worship is the next level of worship, where we move beyond just connecting to God. We move beyond just our spirit connecting to God's spirit, and we sing or we play an instrument or we make music by divine inspiration. So it's not you singing anymore. It's not you playing your guitar anymore. It's you are inspired by God, and what you then do is an inspiration not only to yourself, but to the people who hear you. So prophetic worship is a next level, where we move beyond worship to prophetic worship. Matthew 6, verse 9 and 10 says, it was Jesus teaching His disciples how to pray. So He said, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. There's worship. All right, you see that? Hallowed be Your name. We give worship and adoration to God. We connect with Him. Our Father, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This prophetic worship. So if you move beyond God, I love You, I worship You, hallowed be Your name, there you start. And then you move to God, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is prophetic worship, where you say you're no longer satisfied with a atmosphere, current atmosphere that you're experiencing. You say, God, let right now heaven come to earth, to my normal circumstances. You draw it out. You pull it down. Prophetic worship pulls down the atmosphere of heaven, and it invades your current circumstances. It's starting with your heart, which means that if you feel depressed, that depression has to go, because there's no depression in heaven. Yay. No sickness, no tears, no sorrow, no crying. There's a scripture in Revelation 21 that says, no sorrow, no crying. Isn't it awesome? However, we don't have to wait to go to heaven to experience the atmosphere of heaven on earth, because prophetic worship has the ability to pull down whatever is happening in heaven which is joy, peace, health, happiness, well-being, no crying, no sorrow, no pain, you can pull it down. You can make it part of your atmosphere right now. Okay, are you all with me? Okay, this is really powerful if you just grasp the power of it. So what it does, it has the ability to first change the atmosphere in your heart, which means if you feel depressed or if you feel down, if you even feel sick, that prophetic worship has the ability to shift depression to joy, hopelessness and despair to hope. And Andre and I often, you know, when we come to a place where we feel heavy or depressed, we run to worship. And we worship until we move from music to worship to prophetic worship. Until we feel there's a change in our hearts. Until we feel there's a change in the atmosphere, which means whatever we have experienced which is negative, which could be heaviness or fear or intimidation or just a feeling of not feeling well. When we worship until that feeling shifts to a feeling that is an activity of heaven. So we pull it down. We say, God, we look away from our circumstances and we look to you. We look away from how we feel and we focus on Jesus, on God, on the Holy Spirit, and that allows God to come and manifest himself in your midst. So you look away from your own circumstances, you look away from your own emotions, and you say, God, in heaven, this is the atmosphere. Peace, joy, hope, victory. And I'm choosing to look away from my circumstances and to tap into a higher reality, which is heaven, and I'm pulling it down. Okay? It's something that you have to do until you feel it. It's like Peter shared also this morning of all his doubt, and God came with a warmth and a feeling that was, even for a lawyer, even for somebody who's an analytical person, God's presence changed in a moment everything that he was always arguing and fighting against and questioning. And this is what prophetic worship does in a moment. It can give you a revelation of God. It can give you hope. It can give you joy. So the power of prophetic worship, I want to take you to two scriptures just to make it practical for you. The first one is in 2 Kings 3, verse 15. Prophetic worship enables us to hear the voice of God. This is why it's also so powerful. When we move into a time of prophetic worship, our ears literally pop open and we can hear God speak. So let me take you to a scripture, 2 Kings 3. It was the prophet Elisha. He was a prophet. So obviously he knows how to prophesy. He can hear God's voice. No problem with that. So he was asked by the king to bring a word for the nation. They needed guidance. They said, okay, let's find Elisha. He's now going to give us guidance from the Lord. And then Elisha said, but now bring me a musician. Okay, the prophet of God, he now can't hear God's voice, obviously, because he needs a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him and he said, thus says the Lord. This is so powerful, which means that with his music or song, and it's divinely inspired by God, it can open our ears to hear his voice. Even the prophet Elisha, in this situation, needed a musician to open his ears to hear God's voice. It's powerful. In the first service this year in January, God gave me a song to sing. By the way, this is why we often just move into a time of free worship or prophetic worship in church, because we want to hear God speak. Okay, we are not here to have our own party, all right? We want to hear God's voice. So that is why sometimes we would just make time for the Holy Spirit in worship. We just, the instruments play, or there's a prophetic song, and God says, okay, this is the word for the morning, for the moment. So I had a song, and then while I was singing the song, Adele had a picture. She had a picture while I was singing of a key unlocking people's hearts. And she shared it with me afterwards, and I was so encouraged by it because it was just such confirmation for me that the song doesn't need to be perfect. Your voice doesn't need to be perfectly warmed up, you know? If you hit the note and it's not perfect, but God is speaking, so what? I just realized that morning that whenever there's a prophetic moment, and you must realize that prophecy, it's not premeditated. It's a risk. It's a big, big step in faith now to come and sing a song or to bring a word. It's not premeditated. So sometimes it comes out and not the way you wanted it to come out. And afterwards you think, oh my word, what have I done? And when she gave me that word about the key, I knew that whenever there's a prophetic moment in church, there are hearts that are unlocked. And God has the ability to use that to speak and to change us and to unlock our destinies. So that is so powerful. Another example, prophetic worship can change our hearts and unlock our destiny. Let me show you in the Bible. Samuel was speaking to Saul. Samuel was another prophet in the time of where the kings were reigning in Israel. He was speaking to Saul, 1 Samuel 10, verse 5 to 6. Saul was the very first king that was anointed by Samuel. He said to Saul, and Saul wasn't really very spiritually focused at that stage. So he was saying to Saul, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp. Stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp. They will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy. I bet you he's not prophesied in his life before at that moment. I wonder if he was had any idea what prophecy meant. I don't know. But Samuel said to him, you're going to meet people playing on the instruments. They're going to prophesy, and then you're going to prophesy. But listen to this. You're going to prophesy with them and be turned into another man. You're going to be changed. There's going to be people, they're going to play on the instruments, they're going to prophesy. You're going to start prophesying and you're going to be changed. And when he was coming into the atmosphere of those musicians who was prophesying in the instruments, he had an encounter with the Lord and his heart was changed. And he was ready. He was ready to become king. And this is so powerful because God can do in a moment that 10 sessions of counseling or 10 sessions of therapy or reading a book or God can do in a moment what all of those things can. It can take a year. It can maybe never even cut to the heart. But in a moment when it's prophetic worship, it can cut to your heart and you can be changed forever. And this is what happened to Saul. There's a story by Dave McCallum. He's a pastor and a teacher specifically on the prophetic and prophetic worship. He shares a story that one of his sons, his middle son, wasn't very spiritually focused as his other children were. And he said to God, Lord, what should I do? Because I don't want to push him. I don't want to drag him to church. I don't want to put pressure on him. And then God said to Dave McCallum, go worship in his room. So him and his wife, after his son left for school in the mornings for 2 months, he shares the story. For 2 months, they would put worship music on in his room and they would worship until they move from music to worship to prophetic worship, until they feel that there's a change in the atmosphere, until they literally feel God is here. He shares that he would they would just take his favorite jersey, just hold it while they were worshiping, or take his pillow, just hold it, and just literally exalting the name of Jesus until they feel that heaven comes down into his room. Now, 2 months after they started doing this, their son came to him. He said, "Dad, I feel God is leading me to fast for 30 days. He's a high school boy. I doubt if he fasted on water for 30 days, but God led him to fast. His dad didn't say anything. He wasn't pressured. He wasn't nagged. They worshipped in his room because that was the strategy God gave Dave McCallum for his son. And he fasted, the son fasted for 30 days, and he was changed. After that, he was even bringing prophetic words to his parents and his family. He was changed. But what was the reason? Why was he changed? They worshipped in his room up until a point where heaven came down to earth. They said, "God, let it be on earth, in his room. God, in my boy's room, let it be here as it is in heaven. Come down with your presence." So God's presence, don't try and figure it out with your mind, okay? All of you who are now trying to figure this out, you're not going to get it right, because there's a level of faith and worship which we can tap into, which is higher than our mind and our analytical reasoning. And this is what happened to the son, based on a strategy that God gave to them. If you are battling, I want you to listen carefully now. If you are battling with any kind of addiction or sin or fear or something that is bigger than yourself, you feel you need 1,000 counseling sessions, okay? Those kind of things. Focus a bit less on the problem and spend more time worshiping the Lord. Let me tell you, it's going to change your life. Say, "God, I battle with this thing. I battle with anger, Lord. I lose my temper all the time. I don't know how to deal with it." Just put it aside. Say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to change the atmosphere in my heart. I'm going to allow you to come and change the anger to patience, to love." So just spend time worshiping the Lord. And don't move from that place until you feel that you have moved from music to worship to an experience with the Lord where something is changed inside of you. If you're battling, give it a try. I tell you, sometimes this is more effective than a lot of counseling, where we just come into God's presence and allow him to come and do the change and bring the answers. These other prophetic actions that could be also powerful, especially for those of you maybe not musical, you could feel, but I'm not musical. I can't play a guitar. What should I do now? You know, God can use many different things. And I want to show you another prophetic action that is written in the Bible. But for those of you who can't play an instrument, just use a CD to worship God. I mean, Andre and I often worship when I play the piano, but we often also just worship using a CD. There's lots of good worship music. If you can't play an instrument, put on a CD, okay? Don't just go and watch your movie and leave God with a CD. You worship with it. 2 Kings 13. Let me show you this one other example, and then I'm going to ask Adele also to share with us. 2 Kings 13. That was the king of Israel once again coming to Elisha. Just before Elisha died, the king of Israel had a last visit to Elisha because he wanted to get as most from this anointed prophet as possible. So he rocks up at Elisha's house. Then Elisha said to him, "Take the arrows." So there was arrows lying around. He said to the king, "Take the arrows." So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, this is Elisha saying to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." Okay, this is my arrow. This wasn't planned, but my boy was prophetic this morning. I said to him, leave the sticks at the house. No, mommy, I want to take you to church. Okay, this is my arrow, okay? Prophetic, you can be prophetic at 5. So he struck, he said, strike the ground. And he stopped. And the man of God was angry with him. You must realize that Elisha didn't say strike the ground 7 times. He just said strike the ground. So the king was obedient, but he only struck it 3 times. The man of God was angry with him and he said, you should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck Syria until you had destroyed them. But now you will strike Syria only 3 times. This is quite significant because this determined the destiny of a nation. He's saying to him, because you were kind of half-heartedly doing this act, not passionately enough, because you only did it 3 times, you're going to strike Syria 3 times, but you're not going to defeat them, which is a huge implication for a nation. He said you should have struck it 6 or 7 times. So, what does it mean for us today? Okay, we're not fighting against other nations, hopefully not. If God is leading you to do a prophetic action, whether it's worship, whether it's a kind of something you feel God is saying to you that doesn't make sense, he says to you, go to your office and anoint your telephone, put a little bit of oil on your telephone and just say, God, this is your place. And you've never done it before, but you feel this is what you should do. Just do it. Just do it with all of your heart. You know, you feel you must write a letter to your mother-in-law. Oh, can this be God? Lord, are you sure? Just feel, especially if you spend time in worship and you feel that God is giving you an instruction, he's giving to you some kind of guidance. It's not perfectly making sense. You're not sure even why you should do it. Or is it going to have any kind of effect? You know, quite recently I wrote a letter to my one brother. He's in a very difficult stage in his life. He quit his job about 1.5 years ago. He didn't study at all, so he's without a qualification. He was in a relationship with a girl, and they broke up, and he's in quite a severe state of depression, I think. He's not really responding to my phone calls. So I was praying for him, and I said, God, what should I do? Because it's as if I don't get through to him. He's not even answering his phone when I phone him, so I can't make contact with him. And I felt God saying to me, just write him a letter and honor him. Just write nice things about him. Honor him and give him some money because he's without a job. So I felt God saying to me, just give him 500 rand, put it in the envelope, post it. So I did. I said, God, let it just get through to him. This is what I felt God was saying to me because I didn't know what to do. I said, Lord, I don't know how to get through to him. He got the letter. He didn't even mention anything about thanking for the money. He just said, okay, got the letter. So I have no idea. I have no idea if it has got through to him in any way. But I know. I know God said to me, do it. So I just did it. I just did it. I said, I first thought, let me give 300. And then I felt God saying, no, 500. So I thought, Lord, is this you? And I just decided, I'm going to go for it. I just decided I'm going to do it. And I have no evidence at this point whether it has changed his heart towards me, whether there's an open communication. I don't know. Yet I know that something happened because that was a prophetic action God gave me to do. And I just decided I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it with all my might. So whatever God leads you to do, just do it. 2 years ago, one little story, then I'm going to give Adele a chance just to share. 2 years ago, we had an evening here at church where we prayed for people who were sick. We were trusting the Lord to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. And at that stage, I was battling with a skin problem over my whole body. It was starting to spread. A skin problem I was battling with since I was 10 years old. And there was a group of girls that were praying for me, and then Mattie, for those of you who remember Mattie, she was on staff with us at that stage. She said to me, Sonika, I feel I must throw a cup of water over your head. It was this time of the year. Not a hot day like today. It was like a cold evening. So I said to her, Mattie, go for it. I said, you know what? If you feel God saying I must stand on my head, which I can't do, but I'm so desperate. Whatever you feel God is saying, let's just do it. And that night, God touched me. Up until that point, it was 3 weeks where my skin was just getting really, really bad. It's a long story for another time. But it took 3 weeks and my skin was clean after that night. And I just know that that evening, because of that prophetic action, it wasn't only prayer. It was prophetic prayer. It was a prophetic action that changed my life. So do not be scared. Do not be half-hearted when you feel that God speaks to you to do something. You know, just do it with all of your heart and put your faith in it and see how God can change something. You know, some of you are gifted in jewelry or in poetry or in paintings. You know, trust the Lord that whoever is going to wear your jewelry, they're going to be changed. You know, whoever is reading your poems, they're not going to be the same because there's faith. There's a prophetic action behind it. You know, some of you are in business. Trust the Lord that whoever is buying your products, they're not going to stay the same. Whenever they use your soap to selling, you know, they're just going to have such a desire to know the Lord. Amen. So I just want to ask Adele. Adele is a dancer, and she is not only a dancer, she's a prophetic dancer, I know with all of my heart. Every time she dances, something shifts in the atmosphere. I mean, I still recall so many times that she danced in the past that I can still feel the atmosphere. We had an evening at Lavender Blue, for those of you who were there long ago. It was on Pentecost Sunday. And she did a dance. And we just trusted the Lord that evening to birth something. It was like just something giving birth in the spirit. And she had a dance. And I'll never forget the flags that she used, the song, the movements. It wasn't just the dance. There was something much more to it. She released something in the spirit. And I just wanted to quickly share something that she's experienced in dancing and how prophetic dancing can also change the atmosphere. All right. And then we're gonna end off. Thanks, Adele.
I'll just start with what Sonika, her definition of prophetic worship or as a song or music is inspiration from the Holy Spirit. So a prophetic dance is the same. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's led by the Spirit. I want to share about prophetic dance because I really believe it can change the atmosphere. I believe that people can be healed. People can be set free. They can experience God. There's no limit to what God can do. A story or a testimony. When I was a year or two out of school, I was in a show at the Guild Theatre, and I was doing one dance of a set. It was called The Elements. So there was a dance on air, one on water, one on earth, and one on fire. And I was in the dance. I was doing the dance on fire. And at that stage, I didn't know what prophetic dance was. I didn't know that there was such a thing as prophetic dance. But I was doing this dance on the stage, and because it was fire, I had these like fabric things on my wrists, I suppose, to look like flames. And the one movement I remember, I had to like flick my arms and turn, and I don't remember the steps. But as I was doing that flicking movement, I felt the Holy Spirit say, "I want you to flick all the evil out of the theater." So I was like, "Okay," and then I did. Well, that's the meaning I put sort of my intention. It was a short, quick thing that I experienced. And then I told a friend about it afterwards. And then a few months later, I came across the term or the word prophetic dance, and I happened to ask the same friend, so what is prophetic dance? And she said to me, it's what you did in the guild. I was like, oh. And I share this because just as testimony to the fact that it's the Holy Spirit that leads. You don't have to have all the knowledge or all the know-how or all the skills. If you're prompted and you respond to the Holy Spirit, then he can move. And also, I don't know what the result of that was. I just know I experienced Holy Spirit prompting me to do something, and then I did it. Where am I? Oh. Then also, another story about someone else. I went to a creative arts conference in Joburg, also quite a few years ago, and I met a lady there from America. Her name's Dawn Gilmer. She lives in Houston. And she really has a heart for Italy, and she would often take a group of dancers to Italy, and they would minister there. And I remember her telling us that the one time they were doing a worship session, and I think the worship team was probably singing in Italian because she didn't understand the words. But either her or one of her dancers felt the Holy Spirit saying, go up and dance. So while the worship team was singing, they went up and they danced. And then afterwards, someone told them, what the singer was singing is exactly what you danced. And that's just, you know, that's just the Holy Spirit just being prompted by him and being led by him. So I want to encourage all of us to respond to the Holy Spirit. I know there's a lot of ladies in the church who have had some training in dancing, or even if you haven't, just be open to what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Pick up a flag and come and wave it over somebody if you feel you need to do that, or whatever. Just do a warfare dance. Be free. So that's my first point, is to be led by the Spirit and to respond to the Holy Spirit. But secondly, I really feel that you can put faith into what you do, whether it's a dance or a song or a prophetic action. I see it as your dance or your song or your painting that you paint is 2D. It's for dancing. It could be the music is the first dimension and the movement is the second. But if you put your faith into it, if you add your faith to the mix, then it gives that third dimension of power and of or the spiritual dimension to it. So I really encourage you, when you led in the prophetic, to believe that God is going to do what he's calling you to minister at that time. So if he's calling you to minister healing over someone, believe that he's going to do it. Or if he's calling you to do warfare, believe that he's going to break chains, whatever it is. Add your faith to what God is doing. And he can release so much just through you being obedient. The other thing I wanted to say is there's no limit to what God can do. Just like striking the ground, like Sonika said, could determine the destiny of a nation. Or Moses held his staff over the Red Sea and it parted. He didn't know that was going to happen. He just obeyed God. So you don't know what God is going to do. So I just want to encourage you all just to be open.
Thank you. Amen. Thanks, Adele. So prophetic worship can enable us to hear God's voice. It can change us. It can unlock our destiny. It can lead to other prophetic actions, which can change somebody's life. It can bring healing. It can bring deliverance. So what does that mean? I'm going to end off. We have to make time in our busy schedule to worship the Lord. We have to. We have to put off our cell phones. Do you know how many WhatsApp messages I get when I want to worship the Lord? It's just unbelievable. I just put it on silent, you know. They must wait. Switch off your cell phone. Close your door. Switch off your computer, whatever is distracting you. So I want to encourage you 15 minutes this week, every day. Can we do it? Can we make time for worship 15 minutes every day? And just see how it's going to change your life. Just see how it's going to open your eyes for God. Let's cultivate a lifestyle of prophetic worship. Amen. if you don't have worship music, go to Koom. Download a CD or use iTunes or whatever you use to buy your music. Set money aside. Get yourself proper worship music. That's not only it's not only an artist singing a nice gospel song. I'm talking about music that moves you from music to worship to prophetic worship. Bethel is a very good option. They have very good, and I know it might be not your taste. Find yourself a kind of worship music or a band that works for you, but it's not only a nice song about God. It gets you into it, all right? It's not you only listening and think, oh, it's nice. It's you taking part in whatever they're doing. Hillsong, also a very good option. Chris Tomlin, Matt Redman. Go to Koom and put the earphones on and get yourself something that you like, okay? No excuses. There's so many options. Then I have 10 journals that I want to give to people who don't have a journal, which means you don't have something where you write down when God speaks to you. So I have five for five girls and for five guys. So you need to just raise your hand and hope and pray that there's not 11 who are raising their hands. Okay, just raise your hand. We'll see how many we can give out. The idea is to write down what God speaks to you, okay? It's not love letters to your girlfriend or your boyfriend. It's love letters from the Lord. You need to write down what God speaks to you. Lastly, I want us to listen to a song. There's no words. There's no actions. We're going to close our eyes and we're going to ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Okay, so are you ready for that? I want you to teach your mind and your body and your spirit and everything to work together to hear the voice of the Lord. This is specific music that is written to facilitate the presence of God. The guy's name is Andrew Booth. He's just doing instrumentals. Also a very good option to buy if you're interested in that, Andrew Booth. It's called The Rest Liturgy. We're just going to do one song. Okay. Close your eyes. Say, and I'm going to ask for one or two people to quickly, like three sentences, share what God has told them. So just be open to share also if God has spoken to you.
I just got a picture of when we were little. When I was little. My biggest excitement was to go to the kiddie section in Pick and Pay. And there was like all these Lego things. And then you would get your little Lego box thing, and you would look at the picture and you would build, you know, whatever it was. I had girly ones, so it was like horse stables and stuff like that. And I was sort of like, okay, God, what does that mean? And I feel like so often we compare ourselves to other people in the church, and we sort of feel like we're insignificant, and we, you know, they're going to do it anyway. They're going to step up and they're going to share, or they're going to whatever. And I really felt like God was saying that we as the church are each a Lego piece, and each of us together make the whole picture. Each of us together make that whole little horse stable or whatever. So if you're holding back, it's as if that piece is not there. So God's really saying, step out. Don't feel as if you're insignificant, because you are very important.
Amen. Thanks, Ash. Anybody else you want to share? Okay. I know there's going to be many, because I trusted God that all of you will hear from him. So.
Okay, when the song started, I saw this rain cloud come over, and then when the piano started, I felt that it was God's blessings coming down one by one, eventually coming down like a big rainstorm. And then it took me to a picture when we were at Zanzibar. There's a picture on my Facebook where Megan's standing in the rain, and it was pouring with rain, and just like singing in the rain, and just had a feeling that God wants to shower his blessings over us, and we must just receive it and just receive that joy that's coming from the flood. Almost like the song we were singing, Let It Rain. It just like really God's blessings flowing over us and just receiving that joy. So.
Can we do two more? Oh, there's lots. Praise God. This is what I was trusting him for. We would need to play now what the ching chong. Can I give it to Kerwin, because I know your hand was raised?
I got two pictures. The first one was of like a wrecking ball, but it couldn't, no, it couldn't move because it had like, you know, you have one chain normally so that it can like sway in a sense. But then this one was being held up by like lots of like chains, like just holding it. And then it just broke loose and it just thingied. So it's also like, and then I just got like, you are so powerful in your own right, but you just need to believe it and release yourself from everything else and work through the power of God and then just sway like that and just impact nations like that. And then, yeah, the second picture that I got was like forming things forming out of the ground, like people, and just like, yeah, I just got like an army and, yeah, powerful people being raised.
I had a picture of us all wearing orange T-shirts written Shofar. And we first moved into a town and we were all running free like children. And then we started spreading to countries and we'd walk into places where there's war and people would look at us and be waving our Shofar flag. And then they would start running with us and joining the movement. And it goes across and then I saw a picture of the world where it was covered in orange because we were taking over. We were pulling God's people in, and well, that was special. So yeah, thank you.